welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 63. Tom, greetings to you, fine fellow.
Sup.
Oh, nice, quick, succinct, because we've got a very special guest. We've got Nabil here. How are you doing?
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on. Because, Tom, I'm not sure if I've told you about Nabil's huge love for movies. Like, I don't even think I've even gotten to the crust of it, right?
You're just about scratching the surface.
You have always loved movies?
I have. It's actually how I learned to speak English.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So what's your original language?
Grew up speaking Arabic, and then my parents put me in homeschool. Terrible idea. I was supposed to study by myself at home. Guess what I ended up doing?
Getting really good at English.
Yep.
So what movies helped you learn English?
So back in Qatar, which is Middle East where I used to live, there's this channel called NBC2. It's like a network of channels.
Okay.
But 2 is the one that played movies nonstop all day, every day. Majority of them were crap. Can I say crap?
Yeah,
of course.
What you like.
Yeah, all right. Awesome.
Say whatever you like.
So in the morning, which is when I was alone supposedly studying, that's where I could get most of the movies in. So I'd get about 3 or 5. It was mostly like B-rate, C-rate. Like there was something like the Detective Columbo stuff and just random like 80s action flicks that not like Die Hard or anything like that. So I just watched these nonstop, but I was so hungry for it. And I would just literally stand in front of the TV for hours imitating the actors and trying to say the lines like how they say it. And it had Arabic subtitles, so that helped. And then just do that for 2 years and you're good.
And you're good to go.
Yeah.
And was that how long you were homeschooled?
Yeah, those last 2 years of high school.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Are there any phrases that you picked up that you thought were common that actually just turned out to be movie jargon?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is there things that you've busted out that you suddenly realized, oh, people don't say that in real life?
Ooh, I will. Okay. So one time in, so right after homeschool, I went to university.
I thought he was going to say one time in band camp for a second.
I went to university and everyone I went to university with went to high school proper, so they spoke proper English. Mm-hmm. And then one time they had a town hall meeting, big thing. The dean is there, all the professors, like literally everyone, all the classes. And we were going to discuss a huge topic. That's why the dean called in a town hall meeting. Should the university do a trip to Israel or not? Mm. This is a big deal in the Arab world.
Sure, right? Big deal.
I was one of the few people for the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody sort of got a chance to say their bit if they wanted to. And I was a freshman. Total pleb. And I was like, yeah, I'd like to say my piece. And they let me up. And I talk about how, as an American university in the Middle East, we have a responsibility.
This is such an 18-year-old thing to say.
Do you see where I'm going with this responsibility? And huge responsibility. I busted out somewhere in that speech. I tailored it so I could shove in there, with great power comes great responsibility.
Excellent. I'm a total fan.
Thinking that no one else had seen Spider-Man somehow.
No one's ever seen it.
And wouldn't know where this line came from.
Well done.
Needless to say, people did not let this go. Until my friends from uni, until this is back in 2007, they still remember it till today.
Awesome.
It's one of I'm famous for that line.
That's the only time in your life, only age in your life where you would think that that's going to fly.
Yeah.
You're so convinced.
I really thought everybody was going to really like, wow, like a slow clap was going to happen after this speech. But no. We did go on the trip though. So
And you went?
Yeah, I did. I was the only Arab on the trip. Yeah.
And Israel, is it great? Did you like it?
You sort of get there and you're like, oh, I get why everyone is fighting over this.
Okay, yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's the place to be.
Yeah, the desert rose.
The desert rose, exactly. We've got a lot to get through today. We're going to do some watching suggestions. We've got kind of a quiz.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a would you rather, because I thought that'd be fun. We'll, at the very end, behind the spoiler section, throw in what happened in the Good Place season finale of season 3.
And I'm going to throw in there because I saw a behind the scenes thing on Walking Dead.
Ooh,
something coming up. And if you're not caught up, then it might be a bit spoilery. So we'll tuck it away.
Okay, fantastic. So that will all be at the end. So do we want to crack into the news? Oh, that sounds painful. What have you got for us?
So a two-parter, a news thing. Andrew Lincoln has confirmed that the first Walking Dead movie is going to happen this year.
Ooh.
I don't know whether that's going to air definitely this year, but it's filming soon.
Is it going to be the same cast?
So are you caught up on Walking Dead?
I've only watched the first season. I never managed to get through the rest. Right.
Long story short, Rick, the main guy, isn't on the show anymore. Ooh. And they sold it that he was dying, but he got whisked away by a helicopter to parts unknown.
Super confusing.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's see what happens with that panning out. I think he's going to be off in England or something like that, where they're trying to rebuild
the world. Or
we'll see. But on an interesting balance to that, because with him gone, kind of Norman Reedus is now the main character on the show. He also has a different show on AMC, Riding with Norman Reedus, where he goes riding around on his motorbike. And
is this the crossbow guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I know he was a longtime favorite on the show.
Yeah, so he's very much now the main character.
Wow.
He has this other show where he just hangs out with some of his bikey pals and they go riding around.
He's had cast members from The Walking Dead on it, though.
Yeah, he has normally had different celeb each week, comes for a leg of it, and they talk some nonsense and stuff like that.
Cool.
It's a cool format. Season 3 of that is due to premiere in a couple of weeks, but they've announced that season 4 is a lock. And it's very much clear that this is AMC giving Norman Reedus what he wants now that he's got more power. But he's looking at Andrew Lincoln going, why does he get to be in the movies? Yeah.
Right.
So they're going all in on Norman Reedus. Here's more chips.
You they're giving him everything.
Some real power plays here.
I know.
Totally. Yeah. It's pretty cool to watch.
Yes. Well, good on them, because I know that the money that a lot of the cast members were getting for a long time on The Walking Dead was not the biggest in terms of TV series, so this is good.
Yeah, it's nothing like the guys on Lost used to get 40K plus per episode, and they do 16 to 23 episodes a year. That's some good money. You don't get that.
Not bad for a day's work.
No, especially back in 2004 times.
Oh, yeah.
What about the Friends? I still go back to the Friends cast.
How much did they make towards the end?
Man, weren't they making a million season or something?
I think it was more like a million an episode. Oh, I think they were at 900,000 an episode, somewhere like that. The Big Bang Theory, like the main guy, he gets more than a mil, I think. So he's crazy that he's walking away from it.
But that's per episode, right?
That's per episode. Yeah. And they've got to rehearse. They film an episode a week. It's in front of a live studio audience. That's stressful. The guys on Lost were on a beach in Hawaii. And some of them might be on screen 2 minutes a week.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
40K. Yes, please.
They're all right.
Mm.
We're okay.
The only Dharma staff with the initiative to plug the hole in the island. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, I saw that, so Patty Jenkins, she was talking a little bit about the next Wonder Woman film, 1984, and she was talking about how rad and ace it was, trying to get us all built up, trying to grab the nostalgia of the TV show, even though the TV show I think was made in the 70s, but apparently it was replayed a lot in the 80s, so a lot of 80s kids have like the nostalgia level there, so she's really going a hell for leather on that. But what I thought was interesting was the very end of the article they were talking about, remember we were talking about the Barbie movie that Margot Robbie is rumoured to be a part of.
Ooh.
And it had a bit of a different feel to it. It wasn't going to be a kids movie. It was going to be real life, not animated. And the rumour was Patty was supposed to be directing it. Everyone was a bit excited. Well, she said no. She said, it's fun to talk about it, but I'm not the person directing it at the moment.
Sure. If I could throw in a suggestion, I would love to see Phil Lord and Chris Miller, the guys that did the Lego movie, one or two. They've just done Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse. I think they could do a very cool adult version of it.
Great one.
Maybe it's all about Barbie coming to terms with the fact that her boyfriend is not transgender, but just no gendered.
Just it's a plastic definitely groin. No gender there, right? He did, yeah. Never even had a beard, did he?
Ken?
I don't think he did.
I don't think he had a beard, no. I don't think he even had nipples.
The only time I've ever seen him portrayed in film is Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
And that was brilliant, the way they played it all together. It was great.
That was Michael Keaton, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. I just saw they posted a poster for Toy Story 4 with Bo Peep, and she wears pants now.
It's 2019. That's it's a new, right. Whole new world.
Exactly. If schoolgirls can get the rights to wear pants, so should cartoon characters, well, you know, Amen. Movie characters.
Amen. I do declare.
Chris Pine was talking about Wonder Woman 2 as well.
Oh, yeah.
And he's heard what some of the talk for Wonder Woman 3 is, and he doesn't think he'll be involved because it'll be present day.
Yeah, right.
And Steve Trevor's going to be old as.
Or does Chris Pine just not want to play damsel in distress anymore?
I don't know. I quite like him in that role. He does well at it.
He's a good damsel.
Yeah. Well, he's free from Star Trek. He's
very free.
Twiddling in those thumbs.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's busy doing Netflix stuff, Medieval, where he's pretending to be a Scotsman.
Again, he was also in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Was he?
Which one was he?
So he was the very first Spider-Man that's super heroic and good and dies.
Oh, that makes sense.
He dies like 4 minutes into the movie.
He was like the perfect pretty boy Spider-Man.
Exactly. Yeah. But then he's also in the end credits where they have Spider-Man singing Christmas carols. It's just Chris Pine singing Deck the Halls with Spider-Man. Spider-Webs.
You know that was an outtake.
No, they ended up putting out...
Really? There's all music behind it?
I bought the EP before Christmas. Oh, they put out like a 5-track album of Chris Pine singing Spider-Man things.
I love
Christmas
that
songs.
You bought that more than I love that this EP exists.
Me and my daughter have been driving around listening to it. Post-Christmas, it's great.
Post-Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got no time for Christmas music after the 24th. Even the 25th, I'm not even that interested in it.
They're all very cynical about Christmas.
So, it'll be all right, yeah, then. It'll be all right.
They're the Muggles, still waiting on their acceptance letter to Hogwarts. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, I saw that Black Panther's coming back to cinemas in the US. Mm. Only a select few. I don't know, it's not 250. That's
pretty
not,
good.
Yeah, that's not bad. The first week of February, it's going to be out there, mainly for Black History Month is what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But in all honesty, it's one of the final weeks where Academy Award votes happen. So that's
right.
That's the real reason, I think. But also Black History Month, pretty important.
Yep.
In the States, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of big deal, but also what's the point, I did see that the US Postal Service puts out commemorative stamps for Black History Month, and they have chosen this year an actor called Gregory Hines. Now, do you remember him?
Shaft.
Well, for me, Will and Grace. He was Grace's boyfriend and Will's boss.
Shaft for me.
Okay, fair enough.
I think most people would look at Shaft.
But in all honesty, this is super random. Gregory died in 2003, I think.
Hmm.
And also stamps. Who does stamps anymore?
Collectors.
Are stamps really that collectible?
I'm tending to agree. It's not a real thing anymore. I mean, are they? Who's mailing stuff other than government institutions and bills and stuff?
It's all bills. And even then, they're trying desperately to get you to agree for them to email it.
Yeah.
I'm not good with the email bills. They just get caught up in my inbox.
But Gregory Hines is never going to be on a coin or a note.
No, he's never going to
get that.
So
if you want
that.
His mug on something, a stamp's a pretty good compromise.
He's in demand for his face on stamps. Or else they just ran out of people this year.
It's basically him and the Queen of England. So there's no one else.
It's only two people. Brilliant. Anything else?
Yeah, I got a few bits of news. So Zombieland 2, they're getting real excited. There's a poster that came out this morning. It's a zombie's hand with a hole blown in the middle and two fingers ripped off.
Yes, please.
It's pretty awesome. I've heard a few little things that may or may not end up panning out, but you remember at the end of the last movie, they had been to LA. They'd been through Hollywood. They'd met Bill Murray. They killed Bill Murray. And then they ended up in an amusement park.
For a 10-year-old movie. Probably
What do you guys believe is the statute of limitations on spoilers?
I think you're fine for Zombieland, sure.
Yeah. 4 weeks, generally. If it's in cinema, 4 weeks. If it's on television screen, a week and a half. That's generally what I go for because that's outside that period of people who've TVR'd it or TiVo'd it and they want to watch it.
But you do throw a warning in it. In particular, something like a podcast, you throw a warning in it before you say it.
That's right. Yeah. Well, no warning here. Apparently, they've gone for plusher settings and they've moved into the White House, which I think is awesome. And apparently, Bill Murray is somehow going to be back with Dan Aykroyd.
No way.
Nice.
I'm hoping
that's
as
awesome.
A Ghostbusters shout out, if Dan Aykroyd thinks he's a Ghostbuster, if he's gone insane and he's being haunted by Bill Murray's ghost.
He's 100% driving an old school hearse, isn't he?
Bill Murray just gets better and better with age, man.
Yeah.
The man's a legend.
Yeah, he really is.
And I want Dan Aykroyd to be holding one of those crystal skulls the whole time because he owns a vodka company where everything
really?
Comes in a skull. Yeah, clear skulls.
So he's got a vodka company. Mm-hmm. George Clooney's got the tequila company. Mm-hmm. There must be so many other celebrity.
50 Cent is a bottled water tycoon. Like he's made a lot of money from bottling water.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, little John runs a winery. He's all about
rosé.
I'm not kidding.
No, I want to go to there just to see
it's
that.
So good. So that's Zombieland 2. One that's got me particularly excited. There's a lot of words in this sentence that come together to give me a thumbs up.
All right, let's brace ourselves.
Netflix action comedy, written by Mark Perez, who wrote Game Night, that really messed up.
Yep, I remember that one.
Yep, That was fun. Jason Bateman directing, John Cena starring.
Ooh.
It's about a family who gets stuck in an abandoned movie studio overnight and everything comes to life. So it's Night at the Museum, but in old school IP-free movies.
That has the potential to be awesome or trash.
Exactly. That could go either way. All those things involved are individually great.
But yeah.
Will they make a nice souffle or will this be some dog's breakfast meat pie drop?
Either way, it's going to get big numbers.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix. You know.
John Cena's doing really well. He's picking some great roles. I thought he was great in Bumblebee.
Oh, I haven't seen Bumblebee yet. Last I saw him is the Cock Blocker.
Sure, he was great.
Yeah,
in that.
Yeah, that was funny.
I've seen him in some stuff that I'm really enjoying, and I mean, he's branching out of the perfect military man role.
He's on the rock path.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is.
But if he keeps going the comedy route, that's why I think he's the strongest, because he plays exasperated so well. And someone that big and hulking reacting emotionally to stuff. It's similar to what Rock's done, just, you know, breaking that macho
toxic
man
masculinity.
Yeah.
The Rock has to smile and John Cena has to act kerfuffled. Mm-hmm. What?
And then finally, on a bit of renewals and pilot watch.
Yeah,
we like to check in and see what's coming, what's going to keep coming, what's going away. Renewal-wise, FBI, The Neighborhood, and Magnum PI have all been renewed for season 2 by CBS. Magnum PI I'm happy about, because it's pairing nicely with Hawaii Five-0 for some trash. You just want to sit down and put your feet up and watch something.
And isn't FBI, I feel like that's on or has been on Channel 10.
I think so. It's Missy.
They really were. Yeah,
Missy
yeah.
Missy Peregrine and Jeremy Sisto.
Man, they were trying to advertise that like crazy. I didn't watch it, but Tidy did, and she said,
Look, it's another Dick Wolf show. And he's been doing, you know, law procedures or crime procedures for 30-something years.
Since before the dawn of time.
I feel like that genre is starting to, it's been plateauing for a bit.
Yeah.
And we're in the age of the true crime now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants fake crime anymore.
And so formulaic as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is why people either love it because they can just sit down and they know exactly what they're watching, or it's super stale and you can't be bothered.
True, true. Mm.
And then there's a pilot that got announced by NBC that sounds like it's got some potential legs. It's about a struggling rural church choir that has an Ivy League music professor stumble in their door drunk. That's going to be Bradley Whitford, who we were talking about earlier. He's on Handmaid's Tale recently.
Yep.
You might remember him from Cabin in the Woods or West Wing, probably.
Or Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise.
West Wing for me.
Okay, right. Yeah. I was just throwing it out there as an option.
He's been in some amazing stuff, and I think his curmudgeonly drunkenness will do that really well. If you want my personal pick for his stuff for strongest work of the last few years, there's a show he did called The Good Guys with Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he plays a detective from the 70s who never got out of that mold, and Colin Hanks plays a guy who's all by the books from today. And there's a bunch of people that you've seen in other stuff now, like big players in Westworld and stuff that started out on this show.
Wow.
It's pretty good fun.
So what's it called?
The Good Guys.
The Good Guys.
Yeah. Not the homeware store.
I'm kind of intrigued about this church choir thing, though. That's a great premise.
Well, the people making it's from people that work on Speechless and Single Parents. So I imagine it's going to be a multicam comedy and stuff like that. But also one of the main showrunners worked on Glee for several years. So there's going to be a lot of musical numbers in there.
There's been a while since we've had a Glee-like TV show that they can then throw. Oh,
there's
also,
still Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh,
I can't believe
but that's
don't
really
love it.
I watched the first season and I was like, yeah, and then I just never got around to the second season.
That's fair.
But I feel like America's going to go crazy for this show, right?
That sounds,
It's right up America's alley.
Yeah.
Because it's all got of America, both sides.
If this is a rural heartland, then you've got, you know, the conservatives covered. But if there's an Ivy League professor coming in to show them how it's done, then you've got the liberals
and
covered.
And songs. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
It's kind of like the Book of Mormon, but in show and TV form.
Yeah, that's right.
Hopefully a little politer.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
Oh my God, I was shocked. Just saw it recently. That's
ah, right.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
Such an earworm, that song.
Oh my God.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
a few trailers that I'm just going to push through real quick.
Let's see.
Whatever.
You may have seen some of these.
I might have seen some
You're
of them.
You're a bit of a trailer watcher.
There was a new trailer for The Boys, which is a really hardcore comic book movie adaptation coming. Carl Urban, Simon Pegg, this sort of stuff. It's about a team called The Boys. They are a corporate superhero team meant to be like the Justice League. They're also terrible, terrible people and willy-nilly kill humans without caring because we're just ants. And so there's a off-the-book CIA team put together to patrol and take out the boys when they step out of line.
Take out
these supers and stuff.
Taking
and
out Goliath. It. Yeah, there we go.
Sign me up for anything, Simon Pegg.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. So, right.
This was a comic book for many years, and the main character in it is written, like drawn to look like Simon Pegg. And it was that he aged out of the role that he can't play that. So he's now playing that character's father.
Perfect.
Yep. Very cool. Mike Judge presents Tales from the Tour Bus is back for another season, which is an animated show. And the first one was all about rock legends telling crazy stories from the past. This one is about 70s funk era. So it's Rick James and Isaac Hayes.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing. It's all animated psychedelic sort of stuff.
Do they remember stories from the 70s?
A lot of them
have. Valid question.
A lot of them have input from people around that were there at the time can help recall elements.
Amazing.
But that looks really strong. I don't know much about this. I just saw a very brief, like 15-second trailer, but there's a four-part series, documentary series coming on Showtime about Wu-Tang Clan called Wu-Tang Clan of Mics and Men.
Such a good name!
Of Mics and Men.
Yeah.
Oh, that is
so
good.
Brilliant.
That's how they sold that show, I promise.
For that
you.
Name alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're going to get people watching. That's also right. Wu-Tang.
That's
right.
But that's going to be about all of them. I imagine there's going to be a lot about 13 Chambers in there. And we're going to hear a lot of RZA talking at length about martial arts. And, you know, it's all very important stuff. I've got to be worried about these 36 Chambers.
I'm very worried.
You're
going to
get a lot of 90s kids watching this.
Yes. I'm all over that. Yeah. And then finally, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6 trailer dropped this morning, and it is somewhat confusing because Season 5 ended definitively killing the main character, Phil Coulson. And then this trailer starts with him back as a hologram and ends with him turning over the shoulder and maybe he has amnesia. What?
Sounds Red Dwarf.
He has died before.
I know. That's
this wouldn't be his first death.
No, he's
not
died.
It's not his first
death. I think
he's
died twice. Once in the film and again on the show, at least once, maybe twice. But Captain Marvel comes out before this you know, Captain Marvel's set in the 90s and he's in that. And we've got all the Skrulls and the shape-changing copycat guys.
Right, right.
So it could be a serious left curve and this might be an alien impersonating him.
Just as a rule of thumb, any death in the MCU is reversible.
Very much. Agreed.
Yeah, don't cry too much.
Nah.
Yeah.
They'll come back.
Yeah. You just reminded me of pretty sure it was the first Captain Marvel trailer and they showed her beating up the old lady in the bus. And I was like, what? How dare she? This is terrible.
Well, the second trailer, they had to start with her giving that more context of she's not actually beating up an old lady, guys. It's cool. It's an alien pretending to be an old lady.
I like that they went there in the first one, though. They got the shock value.
They did. Mm. Ben Mendelsohn, he's playing the main bad guy.
He's a good bad guy.
He's a great Aussie. Love that man. He's been in some.
Oh, he was great in Rogue One.
He was. He was. That film wasn't great, but he did quite well.
Yeah, he was great.
Also, Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved him.
He was really good in that, too.
So many things I need to go and rewatch again.
I'm going to rewatch after you told me about this today, Zombieland. It's been years since I watched it. Definitely worth a revisit now that there's going to be a part two.
Well, it's the same writers as Deadpool.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
You really can't go wrong with that.
You can't. This is the thing. Go and watch that movie and then look at the credits of everyone involved from that point on. The director had a few duds because he went and did Gangster Squad and a few things that didn't quite hit.
Right.
But he had a really good go, whereas almost everyone else involved in that film has gone on to huge things.
Wow.
Done all of the things.
And then there's Woody Harrelson, who just continues being amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He was so solid in that. And like you, it's been so long that even the plot is very hazy in my memory, but I remember thinking that movie was amazing.
Twinkies.
Literally all I remember is the intro where the main character is sort of telling you like the main rules of surviving the zombies.
Mm-hmm. Not cardio.
Yep. Cardio. And that Bill Murray dies. Spoiler. But I know you're supposed to say spoiler before, but...
It's all right. We'll just reverse it. It'll be fine.
It's my favorite of the Jesse Eisenberg set in an amusement park almost trilogy. Because he did Adventureland.
Hey, what's the third one?
Oh. Did Adventureland.
Yeah. Zombieland.
I don't know. Was it American Ultra? Is that the
also,
one?
Also, where is he now? Has he been in something recently?
He was Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And
not my Lex Luthor.
when you think about it, this is 2019 now.
God.
I tell you where he has been. Working with David Fincher on the potential Social Network 2.
Oh.
Yep.
That could be really brave, depending on where they want to go with it.
Well, apparently Fincher and Sorkin have been watching the tapes relentlessly of Zuckerberg in front of the
Congress?
Yeah.
At the hearing?
Yep. Oh my God. And they want to do this. That's.
Have they been watching the bad lips?
No.
Lip reading one? So good.
They've already said that the poster, if they can get it done in time, will be a 10-year challenge.
Huh?
His Social Network 10 years ago. Here it is now.
Nice.
It's very clever.
That is clever. Is.
So I haven't talked about it because this is industry insider whispers that I've heard.
It's all about, we just want to now come up with ridiculous rumors and theories.
I would be happy for Fincher to only do films written by Sorkin from here on out and spend the rest of his time doing great serials for Netflix.
Art mimicking life, life mimicking art.
So heavy. All right, so I think we may have it done with the news.
I don't want to tell you any more news.
Whoa, so powerful and decisive.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's go into some stuff we've been watching. Nabil, you first. What's your top thing that you've watched recently?
Green Book.
Oh, yeah. Tell me. So I haven't caught it yet.
But it is so good. Mm. Ever since the trailer came out, I went crazy for it. I'm like, God, I just know I'm going to love this film. And I was really, really hoping that I wouldn't be disappointed, and I was not disappointed.
So you went in with high expectations.
Oh, I did, and it still met them. Wow. Actually succeeded, or superseded?
Yep.
Exceeded.
Yep, yep. Exceeded.
It's one of the seeds.
Yeah.
Just Viggo Mortensen. It's hard to believe that guy was Aragorn in Lord of the Rings. Mm. He plays this quintessential, perfect Italian man who's just, you know, casually racist and somehow doesn't turn the character into a caricature.
Wow.
He just manages to do it, and it's so believable. You're like, wow, I believe this guy existed exactly like how he played him.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, Mahershala Ali, my boy, love anything he's in.
That guy's a phenomenal actor.
He was really good in that, but I gotta say, Viggo Mortensen still steals every frame he's in.
There you go.
As Tony the Lip Vallelonga.
Wow.
Does it really well. Obviously, the supporting cast was good as well, but most of the film is the two of them together.
Mm-hmm.
On this trip down in the deep south, as Dr. Don Shirley, who is this mad genius, musical genius, who has 3 PhDs, spoke like God knows how many languages, including Russian and Italian.
As you do.
Yeah, so he's someone who's portrayed in the movie as, this is based on a true story, of course. So Dr. Don Shirley was a real guy. And in the film, he's portrayed as this tortured artist who's kind of estranged from his family and his culture. He's the movie shows him as detached from the plight of black people in America a little bit, because he goes and he plays for these rich white people in the deep south, and they welcome him into their homes. But at the same time, there's the dichotomy of when he's not performing at one of these really high society things, he's just another black guy, and we see that a lot happen in the film. Viggo Mortensen is this casually racist guy who, in the beginning of the movie, we see through multiple scenes how he's racist, ends up taking this job with Dr. Don Shirley as his driver / bodyguard because he needed the money. He takes the job, and the journey 2 months together on the road completely transforms both men who come from very different worlds. Big controversy about this movie, because the first Dr. Don Shirley's family even heard about the movie was when Mahershala Ali posted on his Instagram a picture of Dr. Don Shirley, and he was saying something like, coming soon.
Really?
And then Dr. Don Shirley's nephew's daughter,
right,
she saw this. She went to her dad, and she was like, Dad, they're doing this thing about your uncle. And did you know about it? He's like, no. So they get in touch with the production company, and they say, no one contacted us about this at all.
And that's odd, right?
Yeah, it was odd. And the movie was written by Nick Vallelonga, who is Tony the Lip Vallelonga's son.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So he wrote the movie. It's a story from his dad's perspective. The producers reassure the family. They're like, look, the movie's treated with such love. You should come to this private screening and check it out. And they were sort of proud to show them the film. They came and they watched it, and they were not happy.
Why?
So there were three like sort of main things or particular scenes. There's one, this one is in the trailer, so no spoilers here. It's actually sort of like the main one in all the trailers. Mm-hmm. It shows Dr. Don Shirley saying that he had never eaten fried chicken. And Tony Vallelonga being very racist, and he's like, your people love the fried chicken. And he was
that's
like,
a good impersonation.
He's like, and then Dr. Don Shirley says, you have a very narrow definition of my people. He's like, yeah, I'm good, right? So they're like, this is ridiculous. He's had fried chicken before. Like portraying him this far detached from, you know, the culture of black people in America at the time is not fair. Mm-hmm. So that was a big woozy about the fried chicken. Mm. Another thing is in the movie, there's a scene where he says that he was estranged from his brother. The nephew says, that's not true. My dad was close with Dr. Don Shirley. And they were very much in contact throughout all their lives. And third and most importantly, he says, Dr. Don Shirley fired Tony Vallelonga. They were not friends.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And sort of the tagline of the movie is the story of a true friendship.
Yeah, true friendship. I remember it was
right,
the very
that comes
end.
Up. Yeah, yeah, it comes up at the end. And he's like, he fired him and they were absolutely not friends. So they went and they watched the screening. They were looking for Nick because they know Nick. And he was nowhere to be seen. And then he saw him again at the big premiere. And he said, Nick, I appreciate your tenacity because you asked my uncle to make this movie 30 years ago. Mm. And he said, no. And Nick said, yeah, that's true. But we went and we saw him just before he died and he gave us his blessings. So there's a big question mark there because no one else was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't know if it actually went down or not. Now, having heard all of this stuff, I was like, ugh, I really don't want to dislike this movie because I love the story. It's so great.
Yeah.
And I read this fantastic article by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, basketball player, famous, you know, basketball player. And I didn't know he wrote stuff about movies.
And he was in Airplane?
Yeah. But I didn't know he wrote for The Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just this one time, or
he's
does he do this?
He's the man.
Oh, he's awesome. And I read his piece and he was saying why, he's obviously, for those who don't know Kareem Abdul, he's black. Hmm. He's African-American. Hmm. And he says why you shouldn't hate the Green Book or like have, why you should love the Green Book, basically. And he says in it the following, that this story is told from Nick Vallelonga's son, how he heard it from his father. So there are two people that were there for this trip. One is Tony Vallelonga, one is Dr. Don Shirley. He's just telling his dad's account of the story, even if it differs from, and the main character is not Dr. Don Shirley. The trailer is a bit misleading that way. The main character actually is Tony Lip.
Okay.
We see him. We see his family. Most of the story in the beginning.
That's true. You see the family.
Yeah.
In the trailer.
The film is following Tony's story, not Dr. Don Shirley.
So it's his story arc.
Yeah. And in fact, when Mahershala Ali won just yesterday in the SAG Awards, he won for Best Supporting Actor.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So that was one thing. And the other thing, and he puts it beautifully, he says, filmmakers, he said, this is not a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Filmmakers are not tasked with being chroniclers of history. Their job is to interpret history. And if you look at any of the true story films that even have come out very recently, Bohemian Rhapsody, Mary, Queen of the Scots, any of these films, if you Google historical inaccuracies in Bohemian Rhapsody, you'll find lists of like tens and dozens of historical inaccuracies in those films. And everybody's okay with them because they're not meant to be a documentary film.
Mm, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But one thing that sort of surprises me is, wouldn't they have gone to the family?
Yeah, and Mahershala Ali,
what happened?
He felt bad about that. I think Nick didn't go to the family because he knew that Dr. Don Shirley had... So we know for a fact that Dr. Don Shirley said no
30 years
back
ago.
In the 80s, late 80s, when he asked him to make the film. Mm. That part is... That much is true.
Mm.
He claims he asked him again just before he died and he gave him his blessing.
Okay.
But at the same time, Dr. Don Shirley had met this young photographer, videographer who was living with him in the same building towards the last few years of his life. And he trusted this man enough to actually do film him and make a documentary about him. And he gave him his blessings. And in that documentary or scenes from it that were used, he's also going to publish something very soon, like within this coming year, as a documentary about Dr. Don Shirley.
Right.
There's footage of Dr. Don Shirley saying that he was friends with Tony Lip.
Okay.
So it contradicts a little bit of what the nephew had said. So I don't know. It's unclear at the moment, but it kind of, if there's footage of Dr. Don Shirley saying that he was friends with Tony Lip, then maybe they really were a bit estranged.
Mm-hmm.
No one really knows at this point. But regardless of all of that, just as a film and as a story, of a racist, bigoted man meeting a musical genius, one in a million kind of person in his generation, and how he inspires him in very funny ways to be better, right? To become a better man, and how Dr. Don Shirley believes that there is a better man inside Tony Lip Vallelonga is beautiful. And it's just a great story that I think should be told. And the takeaway message is beautiful. Even if you do know racist people, do you want to just scream you're racist at them? Or do you sort of want to change them? And there's an iconic line from the movie that shows up in the trailer where Tony Lip is talking to this other band member with Dr. Shirley, and he says, how does he do that? How does he just go up to these white people and shake their hands and smile even though they, you know, other white people treat him terribly? And he says, because it takes courage to change people's hearts. And that's sort of how Dr. Shirley was, that was his philosophy in life.
So that's awesome. Would you say, despite all the controversy, people need to go and see this?
100%. Yeah.
Is it a must-see at the cinema or okay for home streaming?
I think it'll be all right for home streaming as well, but I'm just the kind of guy who's always for the cinematic experience, if that's available to you. It just came out in Australia this last week, so I reckon it'll be on for a while. The dialogue is really good. You actually end up really liking Tony Lip as a character because I believe mostly the way Viggo Mortensen is playing him. Because even though he's this racist, bigoted guy, he also is somehow at peace with himself. Like, he knows who he is. He knows he's no genius. He knows he's just some muscle. And the way he accepts it is like, he's someone who really loves himself. And I think that's part of the reason why Dr. Shirley liked him, because he didn't like himself very much. He was a black man in the 60s in the Deep South, and he was a gay man as well. And at the time, today it's hard to deal with feelings regarding that in society, let alone back in 60s America.
That's kind of tough times trifecta.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, all right. Well, that definitely sounds like something you should check out, particularly in the lead up to the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
It's always nice to go into those
You want to try and have at least two to three ticked off your ballot.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's a minimum, I think.
Exactly.
In a world that Tom forgot, we are the Watchers.
Tom, what have you watched this week?
Well, I got a show that might be a new favorite of mine.
Really?
I like some dumb shows.
Oh, me too.
I like some really out there stuff. I like to try and find weird stuff to bring to the show, to talk about here, and get a bit of exposure for something that people might not have seen. So there's a new show on the History Network. I know.
You had me at the History Network.
It's called Night Fight. That's Night with a K.
Oh.
And it's BattleBots / American Ninja Warrior, but with armored combat.
Oh, my God.
So guys come on there and they bring their own, you know, armor and weapons they've built. And there's a six-man melee, a big, three rounds of a minute. Their weapons are blunted, but the only rules are no stabbing, blunted weapons, no attacking the groin, and stop hitting if someone falls down.
Oh, my goodness.
And it is like real-life gladiator shit.
There's super potential for horrendous injury.
They make a real point of the fact that MMA fighters think they can jump over and do this stuff pretty cool. And the guys that actually do this are explaining, they're like, we wear plate armor, where we have our hands on, you know, there's gloves and then gauntlets on top and holding weapons.
This is heavy.
And the whole idea of a weapon is you need to get it high and swing down.
Right.
Whereas MMA is entirely about get down low to pounce up on your opponent.
Right.
So they're trying to show that this is a legit thing. So there's a guy who comes in who's a pretty big name in MMA, like, and he's in the UFC and everything. And he comes on and he's talking big shit about how he's going to get in there and get down low and grapple. And it starts and he runs at this guy who swings a two-handed pole arm into the side of the guy's head.
Oh,
like the arm is there, but it leaves this massive dent and the MMA fighter down.
My God.
Straight away. So it's 3-minute rounds of six people fighting.
Three minutes would be a lifetime if you were in there.
Well, the two losers then get split off and then there's two teams. The teams then have to work with an armorer. And so one team is representing for this episode, it was the Byzantine period and the other ones were Vikings. So one team had teardrop-shaped shields. The other one had giant circular ones.
Nice.
Then the teams fight for, I think it was another 3 rounds of 1 minute. And then the last two people have two rounds of a minute and a half. And I've never seen anyone more exhausted than these last two guys.
They're carrying like a ton of gear.
Uh-huh. And it looks hot. And they've got a crowd sitting there cheering them on, including wives and partners.
There's a live audience like crowd of people they know.
Yeah. It's, this show was awesome.
WWE needs to jump on this.
Well, it's funny you say that because the host and main judge is Christian, who was one half of a great tag team with Edge in the early 2000s, back in the day.
See, there you go.
Mm-hmm. And so the judges are him, a guy who's an expert in armed combat, and another guy who's an expert in medieval weaponry. And this show shouldn't work. It's played completely straight. It's not like BattleBots with any jokes. They're not making any. There's no wisecracks. There's no one-liners. It's played serious of like, these people can potentially die before your eyes right now.
Oh my
God.
And
that's why audience is watching.
You know what this reminds me of? Have you ever watched Idiocracy?
Yes.
This is, I feel like we're slowly edging into, remember the stuff they used to watch on TV in Idiocracy in the future where everyone is really dumb?
Yeah.
I feel like that's where we're headed, and it starts with shows like this.
Well, see, this is the
beginning of the end.
Going into it, I thought that would be the case. But when you watch it, it's treated quite intellectually. And you know, they're referencing the history of the weaponry all the time and explaining.
They're giving you like history lessons of the weapons.
And you know, like there's a brief bit in there about the trajectory of chainmail and how the different thicknesses will provide better protection compared to different weapons. So if you're having an axe, you want a lot of very thin chainmail that's, I believe the term was double laced. Whereas if you're going up against people with a mace or a battering thing, you want fat chainmail links because then there's less surface area to smash into you and hurt. So I learned some stuff.
Wow.
And I went in thinking this was going to be a one-off show that I'd never watch again. And by the end of it, I need more now.
So it's his new drug.
I think there's another 7 episodes and then the grand final. So whoever wins each week comes back for this sort of stuff.
You got to savor it.
Well, they're going to be each week. So I'll enjoy it each week. I'm not going to dive in straight away and get all of them. But like, I talk a lot about American Ninja Warrior. Up to this point, I've been a huge fan of
it. I love American Ninja Warrior.
That's tame. I don't know how I could go back to that sort of thing because these are just as athletic guys.
They don't
guys.
Fight anyone in American Ninja Warrior.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
He wants the element of fight now. You see, that's what it is.
That's about the solo combat challenge. I think the reason why this show works is you have a free-for-all to start to get to know who the people are, and then they're paired up, and then you've got to see how they work in teamwork.
So how are you out? Like, how are you if you just go down?
So you earn points kind of like boxing as you go through. So you know, taking someone both knees down to the ground or even better, flat on their back, you earn a certain amount of points. A body blow gets you a certain amount of points, but a head blow more than that, a neck blow even more. It's like,
oh my God.
It's really, really granular, the ranking system and stuff like that. But it's also about tenacity, ferocity. You know, they had these buzzwords that they threw in there. And I don't know, this show should not work.
But it does.
I can't. I said this to Lee before, it made me angry that the show's not called. Because it's called Night Fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great name, though.
That's great, but why not call it Fight Night? Then you've got Fright Night or Friday Fight Night, and just there's so many things in history.
Fight Night,
that have been called Fight Night, and just chucking the K in front.
Night's Fight.
It was a personal quibble of mine.
You said Night Fight initially, before explaining any of this, and because you said History Channel, I remember a show they used to have, which was about dogfights. Dogfights meaning airplane fight, like aerial battles and stuff. Mm. And they used to CGI or like animate famous battles, right? And it was a great show because there's a lot of history and they would actually get some of the real pilots and interview them. Cool. The ones who survived, obviously, or like won. And so when he said Night Fight, I was like, are they doing the same thing with like real battles from back in the day?
They should. That actually sounds more History Channel-like.
They should get, forget WWE, since they're treating it seriously, maybe they should go for the medieval reenactment guys and give it a story.
Because that right there is the audience that they're after.
These guys are all LARPers, with the exception of, from this first episode, the MMA guy wasn't. It was his first time putting on armor, right. But all these other guys are live-action role-play guys, into the LARP.
Mm.
And that, you know, one of them was a 6'7" Viking-looking dude with the big beard who works as...
I don't want to take him on.
He works as
not part of that.
I believe the term is metallurgist, who's someone that uses alchemy to infuse magic into weaponry.
Sorry, are we talking about a video game now?
No, metallurgist was a whole thing back in the day of someone that would often work with your shaman or whatever to imbue spiritual elements into.
I'd be that guy.
You just want to stand back.
My job would be, you know,
relatively safe.
I am now giving your weapon the woo-woo.
Yeah.
So that you can cause a boo-boo on the other guy.
That's it. You're in charge of mythical runes.
Carving best job ever.
That's what this guy is. He was a 6'7" LARPer who put runes into weapons.
You get all the respect because you got magical powers. You don't have to actually do anything.
You don't have to prove that the magic works.
Yeah, you don't.
If he wins and he's a great... First of all, you could choose your clientele. Only like the top warrior guys. I only do like special premium swords.
Yep.
They win all the time anyway, so your stuff is working. And if the stuff doesn't work and they lose, it's blame the user. User be warned.
I like that. Yeah. I'm also thinking that for Norseman Series 3, they're probably going to have to incorporate something like this because I can see them doing this level of ridiculousness.
I'm floored by it. I thought this was going to be trash. I left it till last night. I've had it for a couple of days just sitting there like, oh, it'll be a slog to watch for the show because there's a lot of stuff that I watched there. I've enjoyed one episode of and not returned to, whereas this was like, whoa.
Every night now, I need more. It's his new drug.
Ah, Night Fight.
Fantastic.
Night Fight. But now that you've said Fight Night, I'm stuck on that.
I can't remember which one it is. I've got no idea. Look, really quickly, I watched something that was right up my alley and was suggested to me, actually.
Oh, you got an aggressive email?
No, I didn't get an aggressive email. Tidy actually suggested this to me. Who's my sister.
Oh, because this is the second time she's come up.
Yeah, well, she's been on the podcast a few times, so I feel like I can just sort of reference her without going into too much detail.
Hi, Tidy.
She does listen. She's probably saying hi in her car right now.
Yay.
She said, you have got to watch Derry Girls, DERRY Girls on Netflix. She said, it's exactly what you would like. And I went, oh, later. Anyway, she made me watch it with her. Do you want to watch it again? No, it's an Irish comedy.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh. It is, I think, The Royals.
Please say what I think you're going to say.
What?
Vicar of Dibley.
Oh, no, it's funnier than that. It's more random.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's more random than Vicar of Dibley. I know.
This must be funny.
I am quite obsessed with French and Saunders. More Jennifer Saunders than you, Dawn French. But Dawn French, don't get me wrong, she's amazing. So anything with that kind of comedy is perfect. And this is, I can see it's got a bit of ab fab to it, except the actual writing is not as clever.
Okay.
But man, it's funny.
Is it like a show making fun of like Irish people, or is it actually Irish?
It's Irish people making fun of Irish people.
Ah,
I couldn't quite tell when it was set at first because it's kind of, I could tell they were going for somewhere in the 90s, but there were some very different fashion choices that I went, no, I feel like that's early 90s and what you're wearing is late 90s.
Mm.
But I suspect they were hoping that no one really noticed. But there are girls. They go to an all-girls school, Catholic, of course, Ireland. And there's just a hilarious bunch of shenanigans that goes on. Nuns are there, and there's an English guy there, one of the cousins. This is an all-girls school. He's the only boy. He's not allowed to use any of the toilets because that's filthy.
I went on exchange to Germany for 3 months. And
What, you didn't go to the toilet the whole time?
No, I was meant to go to an all-guys school. I was meant to go to an all-guys school, and when I got there, they'd taken on too many billets, so I had to go to the all-girls school for 3 months.
What? Okay, how many boys?
It's like
was
every
it just
teenager's
you?
No, it was me and my two best mates. They came over with me, and it was amazing.
Oh,
I went
Lord.
Over there a boy, came back a man. It was Germany, so we could get schnapps at 7 a.m. in the
My mother in Qatar used to work for an all-girls school. Yeah, right? She's a teacher. Mm. And because it's an all-girls school, they could all take off their veil in the school because everything...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. All the staff are... Yeah. All the teachers are women. Even all the janitorial staff. Everybody's women.
It's just so relaxed there.
Yeah. So one time I had to go into school to give something to my mom. Right? I don't remember what it is. She forgot something or she needed something urgently. Mm. And I had to drive up there and go inside and give it to her. So I had to get in. They literally have an alarm that goes off in the entire school so that every woman in sight know there is a man. This is that there's a man here alarm.
Boys.
Yes,
boys.
Something like that. It just sounds like a regular alarm, but I guess they know what it means.
They know.
And I don't know if it was like a different sound from a fire alarm, but it was that. And then there's a lady, someone from the janitorial staff, that walks in front of you as you walk through the school.
Is she like warning?
It's sort of like the shame scene from Game of Thrones.
You were Cersei.
Dude, yes, I was Cersei. Only... From my perspective, it was a ghost school. There was no one. Everybody goes inside.
I had to go.
Yeah.
So was that one of the only times your mum asked you to drop something off?
I think that was the one and only time.
Yeah, she must have really needed it.
But it must have because they had a mechanism for this. Mm. So I assume this happens every once in a while.
No, you think about it. Things break down. You can't always find female tradies.
Oh, that's got to be it. Yeah, you're right.
Were you warned about this before you went?
No idea.
Oh.
Mom just said, Mom.
Bring it over.
That's amazing. I went to an all-girls school. See, where we live here in Sydney and other parts of Australia, some public schools are single-sex schools. Uh-huh. So you get the boys and the girls' schools. But
can you say that? Can you say single-sex anymore?
I've just said it.
Okay.
One gender? I'm not sure. Anyway, they were very serious about very serious things that didn't need to be serious because it was a public school.
Right.
And I feel like schools that are not co-ed are a little bit confused into what should be serious and important for the pupils and what you could probably let go.
Yeah.
You went to a boys' school,
I went to an all-boys school, and the one thing I left many years ago.
There we go.
Just trying to do maths. This is 17 years ago or something like that. I still haven't had to do ballroom dancing in life.
Oh, wow.
But I don't understand why I had to learn so much damn ballroom dancing with other guys.
That is some old school, man.
Oh, I went to a military school.
Here in Australia?
Yeah.
Wow.
I learned how to make porridge, which I already knew. And then I told all the other girls, you just pop it in the microwave for 2 minutes. That's what my mum taught me.
I've had a more regular schooling than you white folk from Australia. Mm-hmm. Going to porridge school and ballroom dancing school.
Mm-hmm. Porridge school. So good.
I went that and how to shoot a gun.
Oh, I didn't do that.
That would have been cool, though.
Right.
I would have liked to learn that at a young age.
You reckon?
Well, I don't think it would be cool now, but as a kid, I'm sure I would have loved it.
You got it. If I was there now, I wouldn't enjoy it, but back then.
Yeah, it's the best.
It was the thing to do. Mm. How do we get there? Oh, Dairy Girls.
Dairy Girls.
It's really funny, and I think there was maybe 6 episodes, so you can get through it really quickly. You know, a lot of UK shows are like that.
Yeah.
And, there was still lots of checkpoints, military checkpoints through there because Ireland was full of that kind of danger back in the 80s and early 90s.
Do you think you could have a drinking game with the word potato? Because that's, as an Australian, thinking of an Irish comedy, that's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, usually the only thing Australians can say in
potatoes.
As someone with Irish heritage, do you feel like you connected to a lot of the things in the show?
Sort of, but at the same time, no, because it was very cultural and I've never been there before. But I enjoyed it because I enjoyed that style of humour.
Yeah.
And I reckon if you've enjoyed other things that I've said to watch, watch it.
Nice. I'm
sitting there on Netflix, like if you've got the account, just do it.
Just do it. Don't be a dick.
All right, we've had a lot of news. We've done a lot of talking. I kind of want to crack into the Would You Rather.
I think we should.
Because this one I didn't even make up myself.
Oh, stolen.
Often I do, sometimes I don't.
Would you say this is stolen
no,
or is this
stolen.
An homage?
It was given.
Given?
Given.
It was received. I received it. Luke, in San Jose. We've got quite a few people who listen in San Jose. So
hey,
I don't know why I'm waving, but I'm waving.
San Jose, excuse my ignorance. Is that America?
It's in California.
That is America.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they're Aussies.
I wonder if that's near Sanssouci. That's a place I know over there because San means beach, right?
Isn't Sanssouci part of the water?
Sanssouci?
Yeah,
Sanssouci.
I ride my bike to Sanssouci all the time.
Okay, I don't do beaches.
So it was in California.
It is a part in Sydney that none of the places sound Australian. It's like Brighton, Les Sands, mm-hmm. and Sanssouci. Yeah, they all sound like non-English
that's
words.
French.
Yeah, they do sound French.
Having said that, this Spanish-sounding place in America has a guy called Luke, and he said, hey, watchers, you haven't done one of those Would You Rathers for a while. Mm. So he's sent in some options, and I've picked what I believe to be the best five.
Thanks, Luke.
Yeah.
So number five, would you rather have a movie made about your life or a game?
Ew. When you say game, are we talking video or board?
Not specified, so you can decide.
I'm going to let you go first, Tom.
I'm going to have to say movie because I don't like the idea of someone else controlling the narrative of my life.
You're worried about Bandersnatch, aren't you?
No, I'm... Honestly, I'm more concerned that my life would just be like Snakes and Ladders and I'm constantly going to roll poorly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I never went well in Snakes and Ladders.
Oh, I'm rubbish at that shit.
Such a bad game. Okay, so your movie.
Yeah, I'm
Nabil, what about you?
Well, I'm going to say game just to be different.
What kind of genre are you thinking?
It's definitely like an adventure solo, like kind of like Horizon Zero Dawn or God of War or something like that. Yeah.
I would play that.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Leah would happily spend 100 hours with you.
And I am worried about that. I have the same concerns you do, Tom. So there will be no like choose the scenario type stuff that they do in a lot of new games. It's the story set in stone, buddy. Just hit X.
Okay. See, I like that. I don't want any narrative branch. Yeah.
Don't make stuff up. All right.
Is there costume? Like, is there actual costume choices, though?
Of course, the character design is always, you can't control what you look like.
Yep.
You're six pack, a V-shaped thingy, and you look like pretty much Zac Efron in every Zac Efron movie ever.
Yep.
Because you guys can't see me, but promise, that is what I look like in real life.
It is. Mm-hmm.
You can change costumes. You could be whatever.
Perfect.
I'm Egyptian, so I guess you could dress up like a pharaoh. Again, how I dress up in real life. Yep.
You're wearing it right now.
Yes.
How did you get Tutankhamun's actual outfit? That's insane.
It's a family heirloom.
It's nice. Everyone's related. It's amazing. All right. So you're a game.
Yeah.
You're a movie. Mm. I want to be a game too, but I've decided I want to be an RPG.
Oh.
So you really can choose your own adventure on me, but it's really sort of mundane stuff.
Oh, how many hats? How many hats do I have to choose from? If it's mundane things,
like 50 to choose from, and they're all the shades are just slightly different.
Mm.
Not much.
What sort of hat are we looking at? Is this a, you know, are we looking at a 50? Are we looking at a Handmaid's Tale inspired top thing?
Yeah, but that's a micro transaction.
Do you want a teeny tiny top hat?
A teeny tiny hat
that sits jauntily to one side.
You would call that a fascinator.
Oh, and is that something that goes on with a clip?
Yeah, it's always a clip with that kind of stuff.
And are there kind of like any bosses or final levels in the game?
Yeah, but they're actual bosses. And you got to try and just make sure that you either reel them in or are you going to burn your bridges or are you going
to... Oh, wow.
Options.
Mm.
And it's 200 plus hours.
Sorry,
it's
tedious. Could I add? Do we have time to add a question in there?
Of course you do.
All right. Who would you rather play you if your life was a movie? Real actor.
Tina Fey.
Oh, that's so good. That's right on the money.
I want to go to that.
Yeah.
I like that. Can you come back to me?
I'll go Shia LaBeouf.
Ooh,
oh, I like that. Yeah. Very interesting choice.
I used to watch him when Even Stevens was a thing.
Yep.
And I used to think, damn, I'm a lot like this guy. Like, or like he looked a lot like me. He had the fluffy, like we have kind of the same hair.
Yeah.
When he was a kid, the same goofy face. And my wife thinks he's really hot. So I'm like, boom, there you go. That's why you married me.
I'm your Shia. That's perfect.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd have Shia LaBeouf.
I like that. Tom, you still look perplexed by this question.
I think I have to go with Sam Rockwell.
For a second, I thought you were going to say Jack.
that's the easy option. That's the visual. That's the visual. But I would take Sam Rockwell.
I like him a lot.
I've got so much time. I mean, if he was younger, I'd say Christopher Walken, just because I love Christopher Walken.
And you like how he speaks.
I like how he speaks.
He wouldn't speak like you, though, you realise.
No. Or Christian Bale, because he could probably play any or all three of us.
That's true.
But always with a lisp.
I'm sorry. I'm just having a visual thing where Christian Bale is dressed up as you.
I love it.
I was talking to Leah here, of course.
Yeah, I like the fact as well that that film would probably take 3 years for him to make because he'd film
sex
things.
Change.
Well, he'd film things at your height and weight, and then he'd have some height cut off him and return as you.
That's me.
And then he'd eat tons of pies and come back as me.
Me pies or both?
Both.
Just go your apple.
We can take a New York pie. I want a fucking pie.
Wow.
Or you can get a party pie.
But Christian Bale will be able to do all these transformations within a day.
Because it's Christian.
Mm. Yeah. He's actually a chameleon.
Oh, that makes sense. But by the way, does it surprise anybody else when he speaks with his real accent?
No, not anymore. But I love watching people be stunned.
What? Yeah.
What are we up to? Oh, we've only done one. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Would you rather trying to win a chess game against a supercomputer or Monopoly against your family? You've got to think about the long term.
That's a good one, Luke.
There's long term issues in this. See, the supercomputer one, I already know I wouldn't win because I remember when we first got an iMac back in the day when, you know, they were those
coloured.
Yeah, the coloured ones. Mm-hmm. We got orange, which I was not impressed about.
Ah.
But that's beside the point.
You wanted the turquoise one.
I did. Everyone knows exactly what I wanted. I love that color. So, I would play chess against the computer. And I don't know if it's because I didn't know how to play chess, which is also true. But I never won. Even when I was sure that technically that should be checkmate, the game kept going. I'm like, what?
I don't know if not knowing how to play chess would factor in. I just don't see it.
The supercomputer wins. Unless you are Yuri, the guy who beat it once.
But like in the 60s when they were no bigger than... But in the question...
They were Tamagotchi.
In the question, it is predetermined that you beat the supercomputer.
Oh, so I thought it said try to beat. Was it a try to
did
beat?
Did they say would you
try to win chess against a supercomputer or Monopoly against your family? So you're trying to win against...
Would you rather try? That's the question?
Would you rather...
That's what I'm hung up on. Oh. That's the try. That's the verb.
Oh, I thought if it was, would you rather win a game of chess against a supercomputer or win a game of Monopoly against your family?
Because if you're going to win against your family with Monopoly, there's always going to be issues or else you never speak to them again.
I actually care about my family, so I got to go with the supercomputer.
I say Monopoly because I always win.
Do you?
Oh.
So.
I'm a very patient, cold calculator, and I stay back and I let other people get heated with it, and I just wait and just swoop.
How do you feel about Mayfair and Park Lane?
If I land on them, I'll buy them. If I don't, I'll wait till someone else goes broke and buy them off them.
So, again, I'm not using, like, I'm from the Arab world thing as a crutch for this podcast, but...
Oh, what's Mayfair and Park Lane? The dark blue ones near the...
No. I know that. But playing Monopoly with Arab friends back home...
How's that go?
So, you know that in the rules, you can only trade in a certain way. You can do anything, like Arab rules.
Totally.
Yeah. So, you could make a deal, like, somebody lands on your thing and they got to pay tax. You'd be like, you know what, Habibi? It's okay. This time, you don't have to pay me this time, but when I pass by yours, I get a 10% discount every time forever. And like things like that. And just people make the most random. They're like, what? Yeah, I can make deals. I'm making a deal.
It must take ages to sort out the rules before the game.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting, you saying that, is that Monopoly originally had two sets of rules. You had the monopolist view and you also had populist.
Oh.
And it was literally written to show how bad capitalism is. And the woman that created it to show how bad it was had her idea stolen by the guy that went and sold it to her.
No way.
Yeah.
Could you imagine people playing and like getting, you know, be like, you, sir, are bourgeois scum.
Well, it was all about...
How very dare you, sir.
It was about the idea of the original game. The rules were that if you landed on Mayfair, you could ask if everyone else wanted to chip in with you.
Really?
And you could buy it together. You know, and you'd all earn rent.
They made Lego Movie. They made Emoji Movie. They need to make Monopoly Movie.
It's on the cards.
I imagine it.
Kevin Hart.
On the cards. You,
Kevin Hart is like signed.
Wait,
to
for
be
real?
Involved. Yeah.
Monopoly movie?
Yeah.
Man.
Well, Hasbro. At least we've got an idea of the tone that they go in.
Hasbro and Milton Bradley have been pushing a lot of properties around, and Battleship sank badly, but they're still pushing forward on a bunch.
Can I say something? This will not make me popular, but I love Battleship. I know it's a crap movie. I just love it so much, beginning to end.
If you squint and imagine that it's a long-form Rihanna music video, it's a lot more enjoyable.
I might watch it like that.
And Taylor Kitsch, I got a lot of time for. That guy, he's been some great stuff. Like Friday Night Lights, I'm okay with him since then.
And the brother from True Blood, what's his name? Tall Nordic
Skarsgård.
Oh, yeah.
He's Tarzan and the one from
The one who isn't it.
Yes.
His brother is it.
And Liam Neeson. I'm telling you, all the things about this movie, I love. I know it's a bad movie by all measures.
You have to embrace bad movies. I love it, though.
You are in a safe space. We love bad films.
Thank you guys so much.
I did reference Revenge of the Nerds to Nerds in Paradise earlier, so I think that's an indication of where we sit, right?
I do feel at home.
I have a copy of Electric Boogaloo 2. In my office.
Yeah, you do. Mm. All right, let's go for... Oh, this one's quick.
Okay.
Steven Seagal or Chuck Norris?
Seagal.
Norris.
Seagal.
Do you know why? I still remember Conan O'Brien pulling the lever and a Chuck Norris scene would suddenly randomly appear during interviews and stuff. And to that, that was just hilarious. And he has now put Chuck Norris in such a hilarious light for me that's what I want. So why Seagal? Why?
I watched every single episode of Steven Seagal Lawmaker because he's an actual county.
Isn't he some kind of sheriff or something like that?
Yeah, and it's
tell
just,
if it was a joke at first.
No, it's not at all. It is literally
a real guy. Yeah,
it's just it's cops with Steven Seagal tacked on.
He just plays himself on movies. It's just him walking around.
What about his hair, though? I'm a bit worried about it now.
The ponytail. Well, you shouldn't worry about that. You should worry about his gut. He's got a new contract now that you only film him from certain angles while shadowed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's only 180 now, so it's fair.
Who's older, do you reckon? I reckon Chuck Norris.
He's the oldest of them.
Oh.
All.
Wow.
he's late 70s, 76, somewhere around there, I think.
He was before the Pharaohs.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's one of the Chuck Norris facts scribbled on the sides of the pyramid. But have you seen him in Expendables, 3, was it? When
I haven't seen that one.
He looked old, man. Yeah, I felt bad for that cameo.
And that's all in comparison as well.
Is that where he was holding the minigun?
He came out. He just came out for 2 minutes and made a bunch of Chuck Norris jokes. Yeah. The ones were like, too bad cancer something, but Chuck Norris's his tears cure cancer, but too bad Chuck Norris never cries.
There was I'm sure you guys looked at it back in the day, but there was a website. It was just a list of all of those.
Oh, I imagine. Hundreds of them. It's probably a Reddit, a subreddit as well.
It was a great MySpace fodder.
Yeah, that's
I wonder how many top eights Chuck Norris was in.
He's been in so many top eights. What about GTA or Red Dead?
To be in or to play? Give us some context.
I have no context. You be the rule maker, Tom, for this one.
I think this is to play, favorite game.
GTA.
Same GTA. I've never played Red Dead.
Do you have a lot of time and enjoy doing things very slowly?
Yes. Dr.
Leo.
Yeah, the first Red Dead, I was like, and I loved the GTAs, but I've been playing the latest Red Dead, and maybe it's just how I'm feeling at the moment, but I am embracing just getting on my horse and riding around and not doing much at all. So much so that an NPC came up to me at one point and said, "Hey, we need you back at the camp."
I thought you meant you were doing side quests. You're actually not doing anything at all. You're just riding.
I've done a bit of the side quests. Hey. But you find them whilst just riding around.
Fisherwoman got a fish.
Oh, of course.
It did.
Raving review from Leia. It's a great horse riding game.
They did such a good job with the horse.
Honestly, I'm doing a lot of that with Horizon Zero Dawn as well. I just I hack one of the horses and it just, they're so good.
That game is so good.
Yeah.
Tom, I'm telling
Spider-Man.
You.
Spider-Man. Oh, yeah, I do the same. Right. I'll just go and swing around the city. I'm not doing anything. I'm not stopping any crime. What's that? Siren? Don't care.
Oh, I cannot, but side note, whenever anybody talks about Horizon Zero Dawn, cannot wait.
I'm playing it again right now. I played it a year ago when it came out or whenever it came out.
That story's amazing.
The story's amazing. And Aloy, the girl, she's redhead, blah, blah, blah. I see why you like her.
We talked about that game a lot.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yes. I apologize.
No, don't.
I'm playing it on ultra hard now.
Ooh.
I'm just like replaying the whole thing.
Those thunderclaws would be difficult.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Can I justify my GTA?
Of course.
With two words? Three words. Trevor motherfucking Phillips.
There you go.
That's it.
Fair enough.
Favorite video game character ever.
So good.
So Leia, Red Dead or GTA, Horizon Zero Dawn?
Horizon. Horizon Zero Dawn for sure. Yes. That game floored me. All right, last one. Would you rather have every movie spoiled for you before you watch it or not be able to watch a new movie until it's been out for a year? I'm going to wait the year.
Dude, definitely the year. That's not even a question. Have every plot ruined.
Yeah, what's the point? You wouldn't even bother watching it even a year later.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's so many films that waiting a year will be spoiled for you anyway. There's no way. I'm broken. This question has broken me.
You broke Tom, Luke.
There's so many films that I wouldn't mind waiting in a year because I've got a backlog of shit to catch up on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have to see Avengers Endgame night of.
Otherwise, it will be spoiled.
Because I work in social media.
Yeah.
My life is a minefield anytime anything happens.
Yeah, the waiting is, I'm going to have to like do a lot of meditation and stuff.
Find some real sort of zen moments.
I think I got to go spoiled.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn. Well, how did he phrase it again? Spoil everything?
Would you rather have every movie spoiled for you before you watch it or not be able to watch a new movie until it's been out for a year?
Yeah, I'm going with spoiled because I can still enjoy intention and narrative.
Quit your job, dude. Work something else. Seriously, I can't. No, I can't do it.
I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait. Well done. Thank you, Luke. That was amazing.
Good on you, Luke, from San Jose.
What a little champ. I think we've done almost everything. We just need to do a quick recap.
Good Place.
Good Place behind the spoiler section.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Do I need to get out of this room now?
No, that's just the spoiler button. I'll throw it out quick. The Walking Dead thing. There's a featurette up on iTunes. It was about a minute and 20. It didn't reveal much, but it was just them talking about the Whisperers, the new bad guys that are coming. And there is a very ominous shot of Alpha, who is their leader, played by Samantha Morton, I believe. From behind, she has a shaved head. She's peering over some, I won't say what, go and see it yourself.
Okay.
It looks strong. Some good potential.
So it's from The Walking Dead itself?
Yes.
Themself? Itself?
Yes. And it looks to be referencing a moment from the comics that if it is doing so, I have a very clear idea of the next year's storyline.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Get amongst it. But whatever, I'm not even excited about that. I'm excited about talking about Good Place.
So Nabil, you've seen how much of The Good Place?
I've seen all of season one and how many seasons are there?
Three.
We've just finished season
three. I'll tell you where I'm up to.
Mm-hmm.
The devil guy who's now sort of trying to be an angel, they're back at Earth. They just got back together on Earth, but they still have no idea that they used to be in the afterlife and all
that. Okay, so you're on episode one of season three.
You're not that far.
Not that far behind. The 13 episodes.
Oh, all right, cool. Yeah.
You're way further ahead than you thought you were. You do have a big ride.
Ah.
We talked about this before. Season three is definitely not bingeable.
You could binge it, but it'll break your brain.
There's too much happening in each episode.
Oh.
There's a lot of philosophy and existentialism and just...
To the first season, very bingeable.
Yeah.
Second,
yeah.
Third, just watch it once a week or once a day.
They kind of upend the entire premise every second episode this season.
Really?
Change entirely what the show is
That's
about.
So uncommon. They're really playing around with it.
They've said that they want to do a season ender episode every 3 episodes. That is their intention with this show.
It's pretty hardcore.
Oh, wow.
So kind of, they've done 39 episodes. They've seriously burned through what would be 10 or 11 seasons on a normal show.
Oh my God, the writers must be going crazy.
They have a lot of fun.
I imagine they would.
And maybe a few nervous breakdowns. Just going, okay, I can't think of anything else to say. So this one, Tom, I'm going to start off by saying I'm not sure I liked the cheaty ending for this one.
Mm.
I thought it was a bit too commonplace in terms of other TV shows' storyline plots. It just seemed a bit, because The Good Place is pretty random, right? They go random. This one felt like it was going to happen.
I agree, but I kind of feel like it needed to happen. And if we look back, season one was all about Eleanor growing and becoming a better person. Season two was about Michael learning to become more human and and sort of learning what the emotional experience is. And it wasn't until this season ended that we realized this was about Chidi and finally making a fucking decision. And it starts off with small decisions throughout and him learning that actually making a decisive choice works and leads to benefit, not just for himself, but for others. And Chidi's the moral philosophy lecturer. This season we've seen him reading Hume an awful lot. And Hume, a lot of his deal was about self-sacrifice, but in such a way that it benefits others. Because you're constantly thinking about how are my actions going to impact myself? Then there's the idea of how are my actions going to impact those around them? But then there's this other idea that comes in of how much does removing myself from action affect those around? And that's been a big part of Chidi's thing of by not making a decision, he's felt that he's brought less trauma to those around him. And this end of season was him actually realizing that being decisive helped Eleanor when she was losing her sense of self, helped the rest of the team. And then him realizing that making this decision that no one else could make will benefit all of humanity for the rest of time.
It so also leaves you, and I'm sure you've noticed we're not trying to give it too much away for you because you're very close to
it. I was going to say, you guys can, I don't mind if it's spoiled. I'll still watch it.
We're not spoiling it.
Yeah.
You're going to enjoy it. So I think this season finale, more than the other two, definitely gives me a path that I can see them going down where the others, you're just like, where are they going now? This could be anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's also been throughout all of season three, but this is, I've got an idea.
Right. Locks in the story a little bit.
It does.
Yeah. But having said that, it's a good place. So potentially they've just gone, ha ha, you thought that was what it was going to be.
Well, I think if you look at it as the trajectory Janet has taken on the show, at the beginning, it was all about answers. She was a robot there to make answers, and that's what people wanted from the show.
She's my favorite character.
Really? I was gonna ask you guys who's your favorite out of like the team, but I guess Janet's a character too. Janet.
Chidi. I can relate.
I can relate to Chidi a lot as well.
Yeah, having a sore stomach all the time.
Two Chidis and a Janet. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Janet very closely matches the way that the show has changed its focus, because at the beginning it was all about answers and it was a mystery box show that we didn't know was a mystery box. You know, it's very lost. But now it's about the emotional journey of these characters, and a lot of them have thrown logic to the side, and especially Janet, who was this cold conformist, is now a very emotional, not a girl, not a robot. And that kind of matches where the...
Do you have that Britney song in your head? Because I do now. I'm not a girl.
But that really is a nice marker for the show, because while we still get all these great theological and ethical debates, the focus is not on that. The focus is on the human element of these four characters plus the not a girl, not a robot and the no longer a full demon.
I don't think he's a full demon now.
He's middle management.
He is.
I thought it was a brilliant finale. I completely agree. On first watching, I was like, this is one of the few times where this show went where I thought it would go. But at the same time, looking back on all the references Chidi has made recently, it's the only logical culmination of his narrative from this season and makes me happy, because what that sets up for next year is heartbreak for a lot of people.
I'm also a bit worried because of the signposting that they've given Chidi. Mm-hmm. I'm also a bit worried about Janet, because there was one line she said in this episode, and she said, now that I'm becoming more human.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So I'm worried about where her storyline is going to go for the next season. I don't know. Having said that, I went back and watched the first two episodes of the first season.
Oh.
And it's quite cool watching it, knowing the twist that you get halfway through. Or like, is it sort of two-thirds?
Season one, I think, yeah.
Season one is the finale.
Oh, it is the finale.
It's the last,
okay.
Last act.
It's pretty cool watching, like, for example, just seeing all the yogurt signs. Oh, yeah. Cool, it's frozen yogurt.
Did you see some of the new signs this week? There was craft beer, which was served in glass boots, was called Foot Lager.
I loved that so much.
It's a great show.
They have fun with it. You can tell they have fun with it. Yeah.
There's only one writer in charge of all those puns.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he very punny?
She is.
Oh, shit.
Megan Amram, who wrote this episode with Jen Starsky, I think.
There we go. Mm. Wow. Stellar people. Mm. I think we're going to have to wait till next year, but if you find anything out during...
Next year, no, September.
No, sorry, this September. Year, I mean, yeah. Oh, God, next season. I'm sorry, Charlie. yeah, so we will find out any rumours and just throw them in your general direction. Mm. Over your ear holes.
I promise you that Kristen Bell will be talking about it. Because Frozen 2 comes out tail end of this year. Right. So she will have a lot of ramp up for that.
There's going to be sloth talk and a good place.
Oh, just Disney are not going to let her rest on her laurels for that. They're going to push it hard.
I think she's so beautiful.
And she's pretty cool too.
Yeah, and beautiful girls like her are rarely also that funny.
Yeah, agreed.
She has got amazing comic timing.
I was so impressed. I didn't know how funny she was until I started watching The Good Place.
Me too.
Yeah.
She's kind of
you
got...
You should check out her Instagram with her husband Dax Shepard.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're funny.
Let's hit follow immediately then.
Do it.
they're very human.
I like him too. I like him a lot.
Me too.
Yeah. They will regularly skip awards nights to have gaming nights at home or have everyone come out and play board games.
Oh my gosh, I want to be their friend so badly. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you very much to Bill.
Thanks for having me.
It was amazing.
This was awesome.
Yeah, to have a good chat. We're going to get you on again because now we're officially calling you semi-regular.
Hey.
Whether you like it or not.
Maybe when Game of Thrones is back.
Yes, which is very soon.
We'll do Game of Thrones nights.
Okay. Nice. Deal. Tom, thank you.
By the power of Grayskull.